This is Bigger Pockets Daily, where we read you the best real estate investing advice Monday through Sunday, rain or shine. I'm your host, Tyler. And if you like this article, you'll find thousands of others like it at biggerpockets.com/blog. But you can't, or at least you shouldn't, be looking at a screen when you're mowing the lawn or driving for deals. So enjoy this show and check out the rest of our podcasts. Just search Bigger Pockets on your favorite podcast app. Okay, almost time for the show. We'll get right into it after this quick break. Managing your finances used to be a pain. It was either useless apps or overcomplicated spreadsheets. Ugh. But now, with Monarch Money, managing your money is easier than ever. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/bigger. Unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it easy to set up, customize, and use. You can even collaborate with your partner, family, or financial advisor at no extra cost to get a joint view of all your finances. Customize your dashboard, notifications, and budgets with a tap. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show right here will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/bigger. That's monarchmoney.com/bigger for your extended 30-day free trial. Meet Rent App, the seamless, secure, free way to collect rent. Built by a team of fintech veterans behind Square and Cash App, Rent App uses ACH bank transfers to deposit funds directly into your account. You don't even need to download anything. Rent App setup is straightforward for renters, and there are no apps for landlords to download. Both get peace of mind with a digital transaction history. That means no more lost checks, managing a dozen different payment apps, or even wondering whether payment was sent. Landlords say Rent App is the most convenient way to collect rent, and we think you'll agree. Rent App, the free and easy way to collect rent. Learn more at rent.app/landlord. That's rent.app/landlord. Welcome back to part two of I'm a Real Estate Agent, and this is how I feel about the NAR settlement and the changes to come by Ryan Williams. Part two begins right now. How agents price homes. Another hot-button issue we as agents have to speak on to clients and investors is that this settlement will have little to no effect on home prices. Multiple news outlets have made this statement, one being the largest national news podcast, The New York Times, The Daily. On their episode covering the settlement, reporter Deborah Kamen, who was also interviewed on the Bigger Pockets podcast, by the way, asserts the settlement will, quote, make it significantly cheaper, end quote, to buy a home. Okay, so the media talking points around this idea have been something to the effect of the following. And I quote, 6% agent commissions have been added on top of the actual home value, artificially inflating home prices. If the 6% commission is taken away, home prices will become cheaper. Nope, I disagree. For two reasons. One, agent commissions largely do not factor into how we set prices. Often, the only time this would even be part of a pricing discussion with a seller would be if they have such low equity in the home that selling would cause them to have to write a check at closing after commissions and closing costs. Many agents will take a fee as low as possible or work pro bono in this situation just to help people out. The way home prices are set ultimately is up to what the seller wants to sell it for. Agents advise sellers on sale prices based on comparable sales. That's why we're always talking about running comps, CMAs, all that kind of stuff. And number two, I would disagree based on human nature and, you know, that thing called common sense. Kamen and others who support this theory are insinuating that sellers will become more altruistic with their home equity upon these rules going into place. I think the Vegas odds would favor that not happening. So here's the hypothetical scenario. Your neighbor sells an exact replica of your home for $500,000. You've negotiated with your agent to only pay 3% in commissions rather than 6%. Are you going to sell your home for $485,000, 3% less? Or are you going to sell for the same price as your neighbor and keep $15,000 more for yourself? There may be a few charitable people who take a price cut, but my guess is that will be the exception, not the rule. These rule changes may lead to home sellers paying less in commission fees, but that doesn't equate to home prices being cheaper. In fact, if buyer agent commissions are passed on to buyers, it may make it even more expensive to buy a home. Not cheaper, people. Investor insights from an agent. These rule changes will affect agents, investors, and retail home buyers and sellers, both directly and indirectly. Here are just a few potential changes on the horizon we should all be aware of. Some sellers will offer no buyer agent compensation and commission. We will have to wait and see if the market trends towards sellers no longer offering buyer agent commission, if it ends up being close to where it is today, or if it lands kind of somewhere in the middle. I've asked flippers and developers if they're considering offering no buyer agent commissions, and some have said they will strategically test it out and see how it affects demand in the negotiation process. If there's still demand and they stand to profit more, they're definitely open to the idea of no buyer agent commissions. I think whether opting out of offering a buyer agent commission is helpful or not will largely depend on the sector of the market a home falls in. With homes that could be categorized as starter homes or on the affordable end of the spectrum, buyers do struggle to come up with down payments and closing costs as it is, so they more than likely will not be able to offer a buyer agent commission on their closing fees. Homes in price ranges of upper middle class and wealthier clients that have multiple offers might be safe offering no commission because buyers could afford to pay their own agent and make their offer even more attractive to a seller by alleviating their cost to pay a buyer agent and keep that money in their pocket. Investors need to be educated on how agent commissions could affect their offers and have a compensation plan agreed on with their agent that is in line with their investing goal. The role of agent partners. And that leads me to my next insight. Agent partners. Frequently, investors will have one of two business relationships with real estate agents. One is having an agent partner per market, who is their go-to for most of their real estate needs. They often have a contractual agreement with this agent while they are searching for properties. The other is investors who have relationships with many agents whom they give their buy box to and say, "Bring me a deal." With buyer agent commissions in limbo, the days of "bring me a deal" without a contractual relationship may be over. Okay, so I know that if I can source a deal for an investor that meets their criteria, I do have assurance the commission being offered on the MLS would be my compensation if I get under contract with the investor. With commission potentially not being offered or a point of negotiation between myself, the listing agent, and the investor, I would be less eager to hunt down deals for investors without knowing how I would be compensated. The way the ruling is written, agents would need a written agreement even to show homes to potential buyers. Investors need to be aware that agents will be required to have these buyer agency agreements in order to show them homes and outline how they will be compensated. For investors, I anticipate the rise of open buyer agency agreements. Agents want to complete exclusive buyer agency agreements to know contractually that they are the only agents working with a buyer as they are shopping for homes. This gives much more assurance of compensation for the work they put in sourcing deals for an investor. Investors who still want to employ multiple agents at once have the option to outline working relationships and compensation agreements in order to be in compliance with this ruling by having multiple open rather than exclusive buyer agreements in place, formerly known as open buyer agency. I think developing great agent partnerships may be the more advantageous route for investors. Agents who can advise when to offer buyer agent commissions based on the sector of the market of the home you're selling, or agents who will offer you a discounted rate if they know there is a flip, resale, or repeat business they will be compensated on in the future. Having a great agent who can help you navigate the nuances of this new ruling, who are experts in the fundamentals of buying and selling a home, and who can create win-win scenarios for themselves and investors, will be paramount in this upcoming season. The future of the NAR. All right. The future of the National Association of Realtors itself may be the most important thing investors need to be paying attention to. Faithful NAR members have been paying high member dues for years. To have the invisible hand, so to speak, of the association working on their behalf. Many realtors are frustrated with the settlement's outcome and the NAR's incapacity to validate the value of their members' vocation in these trials. With the settlement, not being able to see compensation on the MLS and being required to list on the MLS, many realtors are questioning whether they should continue their NAR membership altogether. At first glance, this seems like it would affect realtors rather than investors in the day-to-day, but we must remember that the NAR is one of the most powerful lobbying groups in the country. They are funded by both realtors and wealthy real estate investors, enjoying the income and tax benefits derived from investing in real estate. They promote initiatives and legislation that both realtors and investors favor to encourage further investing and the buying and selling of homes. The NAR is critical in mitigating the rise of rent control, anti-landlord policy, and further property taxation. However, if the NAR's funding dries up from non-renewing realtors, it may no longer have the same sway over future legislation, impacting real estate investing. Investors need to consider this before encouraging their real estate agent to ditch the NAR. Final thoughts? We all need to keep a pulse on how this develops once implemented in July. Lean on your industry partners and the Bigger Pockets community to be informed and create win-win scenarios for yourself, sellers, buyers, and agents. All businesses experience shifts, and real estate investing is really no different. It's those who are informed and hustle through times of change who thrive on the other side. I hope you enjoyed today's article. Remember, you can find thousands more like it at biggerpockets.com/blog. And for another fresh perspective on real estate investing, join me again right here tomorrow. Ta-ta!